You're listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Welcome to Perfection Autoworks. Hey, aren't you Cupid?
Yeah, or I was until I lost my job.
How does the Angel of Eros do that, pray tell?
My car broke down on the way to a falling in love event. They broke up, and the boss fired me. Can you fix my car?
Sure. A free 26-point inspection. Hey, would you please point that arrow in a safe direction?
Sorry, I...
I love you, man.
Go back to work, Joe. Brakes, tires, tune-ups, from a Mercedes to a Chevy pickup. We can do it all, whether it's a tune-up, oil change, or just old-fashioned service. Perfection Auto Works at 323-8650. That's 323-8650. Or check out our cool website at perfectionautoworks.com. Cupid, draw back
your bow. Since 1968, Ackerley Advertising has helped companies, restaurants, schools, churches, and nonprofit organizations manage their advertising. Hello, I'm William Ackerley, production manager at Ackerley Advertising. Right now, my brother, Dr. Ed Ackerley, and I are offering an awesome 50% discount on video production. We can help you tell your unique story with an affordable television commercial or video for your website and social media advertising. Give Ackerley Advertising a call or visit ackerleyadvertising.com.
Tucson Mobile Notary is one of Southern Arizona's most trusted providers of notary services. All services performed by a bonded and insured Fidelity-approved notary. We travel to you 7 days a week. Our specialties include real estate closings and estate planning documents. We are here to service you with professional convenience, saving you time, knowing it's done right. Call 520-250-2370 or check out our website, tucmobilenotary.com.
The John C. Scott Show is paid for by the John C. Scott Company, LLC. The views expressed are not those of KVOI or its sponsors.
Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum. John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. And now, John C. Scott.
Thank you and good afternoon from the Perfection Auto Works studios. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum, which is the most talked to, talked about, and listened to weekend political talk show in all of Arizona. Thank you for making that possible. Today's lineup, Jeff Rogers, former chair of the Democratic Party and one of the most respected defense lawyers in America, leads off our show. Then Pamela Powers Hanley, the progressive voice of the legislature of Arizona, state representative, Democrat from District 9, will be with us. And then Jim Hanley, one of the smartest financial advisors in America, will be with us for a financial report at 3:45. Let's go to Jeff Rogers. Jeff, welcome to the show. Thanks for being with us.
Good afternoon. Glad to be here, John.
Well, we got the Department of Homeland Security issuing additional terrorism bulletins this week, warning of the potential for lingering violence from people motivated by the anti-government sentiment after President Biden's election, suggesting, of course, the January 6th riot at the Capitol may have emboldened extremists, set the stage for additional attacks. How much of a domestic threat to the republic are these extremists, or terrorists, as you would call them? I would suggest the latter rather than the former.
Well, I would suggest the latter as well. I think that, we're also finding out today by multiple news sources is that these the financing of that rally leading to the insurrection was handled by people with ties to the Trump campaign, and that they work together to foment this violence. And they're starting to come down now with conspiracy charges, which are a criminal agreement amongst various people to do something that's against the law. And we're seeing ties more and more and more to the fact that the Trump campaign and people associated with Trump were really in back of this insurrection and guiding it and financing it and motivating the people and communicating with the people in the weeks ahead to arrange this terrorist attack on our Capitol. So it's getting worse and worse for the Republicans here, and yet they still seem to be embracing Donald Trump more and more. Kevin McCarthy, who finally came out after the attacks and blamed Trump, has now said, oh, no, Trump was not to blame. We're all to blame. Yeah, right. And they're now in the process of making up and kissing and making up with Trump. So if there was any hope that the Republican Party was going to become a more rational entity and divorce themselves from Trump, those hopes have certainly been dashed. And I think we can look forward to more of this. Although Homeland Security and the FBI really do seem to be on top of this and seem to be, you know, getting a handle on people before they act on their worst impulses. So I have a lot of confidence in our FBI and our Homeland Security and law enforcement, particularly now that they're not in the clutches of Trump. But, you know, we still could see some attacks.
We know the federal authorities have charged, I believe, Jeff, the figure is well over 150 people in the January 6th siege of the Capitol, including some with links to the right-wing extremist groups. It seems to me that the Congress has to act, and the impeachment is part of that action, is it not?
Well, I think we do, and we've seen now that you know, you're not going to find 17 Republicans with a backbone strong enough to stand up for America. Instead, they're going to knuckle under to Trump and his minions, and that's very unfortunate, because I think in the aftermath of the January 6th insurrection that we believe there might be 17 Republicans who would stand up for America, but I don't think you'll see more than a handful. I'll bet it'll be less than 10, may even be only the same five who voted against that attempt to derail it by the Senator Rand Paul.
You know, I thought Trump would just fade away. That's not going to happen, is it, Jeff?
No, he's going to have to be crushed, and I think it's going to take the legal cases against him to crush him, and they're coming. He was just his organization and law firm were ordered to turn over documents to the Attorney General's office of the state of New York just yesterday, and they were trying to hide them as attorney-client privilege product, but it was anything but that. They were basically engineers' estimates of what property's values were, and that's what he's accused of. It was basically inflating the values of properties in order to get loans, which is lying on a loan document. I've represented many people in that last recession that in the run-up to it, where we created the real estate bubble, that did the same kinds of things because they thought they could make profits, and they were prosecuted in federal district court. And then on the other hand, he's accused of likely underestimating the value of them when it came to trying to pay property taxes and other taxes in New York State. So, you know, he's trying to have it both ways, and both of them are crimes. So I guess you could say if he'd done nothing, he might have paid a little more taxes and got a little smaller loans, but maybe he wouldn't have committed the crimes that he's going to be accused of.
You and I had talked recently about the direction of the Republican Party in Arizona. It has moved, again, far to the right, with Kelly Ward as the continuing chair of the GOP in the state, as well as strange and bizarre happenings, such as the fact that literally the proposed law would let the legislature overturn the presidential election results, and legislators are pushing to clip the powers of the governor to act in time of a pandemic. And, of course, and despite the toll, lawmakers want more tax cuts. So if people wanted moderation from the GOP, it isn't happening in the Grand Canyon state.
No, and there was an article in the Arizona Republic early last week about thousands and thousands of Republicans have changed their registration, either to independent mostly and some to Democrat, in the aftermath of January the 6th. And this is going to cause more of the same. I mean, how can you justify, if you're a Republican and you believe in winning elections, how can you justify having Kelly Ward as your chair? I mean, she lost two primaries in the United States Senate, and on her watch, the Republicans lost two Senate seats and other statewide offices. So I don't know how you justify having someone that crazy running the Republican Party. I mean, it's institutional suicide.
What do you think the future of Doug Ducey will be after governor?
You know, it's awfully hard to say. I thought Doug Ducey was a very ambitious man when he won the first time, and even when he won the second time. I think he was a guy who had his eyes designed on the presidency. I don't think the Senate was where he wanted to be. I think he really thought that he was presidential timber, and I don't think he is, and never thought he was, but nevertheless, I think he believed he was. But, you know, now that the Republican Party has become the party of Trump only, there's nowhere for him to go in the Republican Party. I can't see that there's an option out there. I mean, he theoretically, if he changed his mind, could have a shot at a Senate seat, but he might not make it through a Republican primary. He's not crazy enough. And that's pretty sad to say that someone as conservative as him just isn't crazy enough to win a Republican primary. But that actually might be the truth in current day Arizona, as the Democrats have gotten more moderate and put up moderate Senate candidates that can win statewide. The Republicans have gone in the other direction.
Let's go to our phone lines. David's on our phones with Jeff Rogers, former chair of the Democratic Party. Hi, David. Welcome to the show. Thanks for your call.
I was going to want to convey the fact the state legislature had increased my property taxes back in 1997 when development was picking up a very large way in the Marana area, and local governments are having to spend more and more money on bigger roads, more schools, and stuff like that. State legislature passed Senate Bill 1130, tax code reconfiguration, and it targeted me for a huge tax increase on my property tax. What they did was they raised my assessment ratio from the standard 10% to 16% to squeeze more money out of me, so to pay for all the development going in, to pay for the roads, the schools, and all that stuff.
Well, where do you think we're going to get the money for schools and roads if we don't tax? But you're suggesting you're getting taxed unfairly, right?
Yes, exactly.
Jeff, I don't know whether you want to comment on that.
People complain about the roads an awful lot, and I'm certainly one of them that does. And if we want to have better roads and highways, we're going to have to pay for it with tax dollars. And the same thing for schools. If we want to attract big businesses to Arizona and jobs and quality jobs, we're going to have to educate our children and educate the youth of our society. And so the only way we can do that is through tax dollars. And I know a lot of people get older and, kind of get a little more conservative in their ways. Happens to me a little bit, too. But you know, if we don't look out for the next generations coming along, it's not going to be good for any of us, our children or our grandchildren. So, taxes are the way we build a civilized society and have a government that can protect us from criminals and protect us from outsiders that might come here to do harm to us. And that's how we run our society. I think there are a lot of people who think they'd like to live in a purely libertarian society, but somebody's got to pay the bills, and that's how we do it.
David, thanks for your call. Appreciate it very much. Jeff, let's take a quick break. I'll come back with you in just a moment. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum. We'll return after these messages.
As a business owner, you're responsible for the growth, leadership, and the daily operation of your business. This includes your interaction and advocacy for your customers. Tucson Business Owners, Inc. offers you the opportunity to educate and advocate about community policies affecting profitability. By becoming a member of Tucson Business Owners, Inc., you can have an effect on common issues such as curb appeal, municipal budget priorities, and keeping a vibrant workforce in the area. For more information, visit TucsonBusinessOwners.org.
There's never been a better feeling than improving your home furnishings for the new year. Now you can feel a sense of home. We invite you to experience the true pleasure of shopping at Southern Arizona's largest selection of pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessories. You must visit the two neighborhood home style gallery locations at 1010 South Wilmot or 2950 South Ina Road. Both stores are filled with over 15,000 square feet of beautiful furniture. Plus, Homestyle Galleries allows you to turn your once-loved furniture into cash. Homestyle Galleries saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Homestyle Galleries open 7 days a week.
Hi, my name is Jim Hanley. I was born and raised in Tucson, and I raised my own boys here. I want to get to know you, your dreams and goals, and help you shape them into a plan for success. I've been helping hundreds of Tucson families do this since 1993. It takes experience and know-how to navigate the rocky shoals of the financial markets and keep you on an even keel. I look at every account I manage every day to find opportunities to grow your nest egg, to make you at ease and enjoying your life. I want to show you the highest integrity and reliability you can find anywhere. That's why I named my business with my own name, Jim Hanley LLC, and why I'm a member of the CFA Society of Tucson. Find me at jimhanleyllc.com or call me at 623-3646. That's 623-3646. Jim Hanley LLC is a registered investment advisor and a member of FINRA SIPC.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the John C. Scott Political Forum from the Perfection Auto Works Studios. Where this is Jeff Rogers, former chair of the Democratic Party. As the former chair, I'm wondering if you're concerned about Kyrsten Sinema, our U.S. Senator, and her filibuster vote of allowing the Republicans to continue to filibuster, which would put a huge snag in the aspirations of our new administration. Does that worry you? It's a razor-thin margin, and she's the razor.
Well, it deeply concerns me. If I were 10 years younger, I'd probably announce the fact that I was going to run against her, but I'm not. So I'm hopeful that she'll see the light before it's too late. There are many things we need to do, and some of them are necessary to do right now. And one of them is, I believe we need to offer statehood to the District of Columbia. And we can do that, but we have to do it by probably a 51-50 margin with Kamala Harris breaking the tie. And in order to do that, we've got to get rid of the filibuster. We've got to pass some COVID relief for everyone who's suffering so badly and to prop up our economy. And again, that we at least have an option there that we can do it through the budget reconciliation method, but it would be better to just pass it through the Senate. We've got judges that need to be approved. We've got many other things that are called for right now, particularly the Voting Rights Act, to keep the Republicans from the kind of crazy things that they're trying to do in Phoenix right now. And that Voting Rights Act, again, we're not going to get 10 Republicans to support us on that because they're walking in lockstep with Donald Trump, and they know that the only way they can win elections on a nationwide basis is to suppress certain votes. And so these are really important opportunities for us to make a real change in direction in this country. And Kyrsten Sinema stands in the way. She may as well be Mitch McConnell for all that matters, because if she stands in the way of getting rid of the filibuster, then she's standing in the way of reform. And I'm very, very disappointed with her. And I've made that known publicly and privately as well.
It seems to me you recognize the power of the majority with the committee chairmanships and the ability to have 51 votes over the 50 with the vice president, but you give up all that power if you allow the Republicans to filibuster, and you do it from the vote of a Democratic senator from Arizona. That's
exactly
unconscionable, for God's sake.
I agree with you entirely. And think about it this way. The Republicans for 6 years under Mitch McConnell have played ruthless, hard-knuckled politics with us. And, Democrats need to come step back and say, we're just going to have to do the same thing. Instead of saying, no, we'll take the high ground. We don't do that. We're more fair-minded than that. Bull. That's just wrong. I mean, if we want to make a difference and use the majorities that we earned in this election and the presidency that we earned, we're going to have to take the gloves off. And that means Sinema is going to have to wrap her mind around, getting rid of the filibuster.
What influence do others have on her? She's pretty independent. She acts as if she is her own counsel on many, many issues, and in particular this one. Who would she listen to? Would she be frightened of a primary? Or not?
I think if somebody right now announced that I've had enough of her, I'm going to run against her. I've suggested maybe Ruben Gallego would be a good person to run against her. He'd beat her in a primary. He'd have a tough time because he's quite a bit more liberal he's not quite a bit more liberal than she used to be when she was a Green. But she just changed her spots, and she continues to change her spots for the moment. And sometimes I wonder if she has any scruples It's astonishing how she changes from year to year. But yeah, I think she could be primaried from the left and lose. But that person might have a tougher time in the general election. But I'd be willing to bet on that.
Got a couple of minutes left here. As former chair of the Democratic Party in Pima County, what do you think of the new leadership at the Democratic Party, and what position is the Democratic Party as we move ahead into a gubernatorial race in just a year and a half, and are just, well, actually quicker than that, major races coming up within the next 24 months? What do you say, Jeff Rogers, of the current Democratic structure?
I don't know many of the people at the top of the structure right now, so I can't really comment on them. But you know, our last chair did a good job. We won some seats, won a lot of elections. We really need to turn that legislature. We need one more seat to at least tie it in the Senate, and one more in the House. And you know, that's got to be goal number one. Although down here in Pima County, we own all the seats. So it's you know, it's in the margins where we need to fight it out, and that's probably going to be up to the state party and the Maricopa County party.
If this Republican Party moves continually to the right, as it seems to be willing to do even after Trump, I think that becomes more likely. As you clearly pointed out, there's Republicans defecting to independent status and other status as well. They've just had enough of the Trump the Republican Party.
I think you're going to see a lot more of that, and especially if they continue to walk in lockstep with them. You know, they should view this as a wonderful opportunity to divorce themselves from Trump and his policies and his ways, but they haven't seen it that way. They see it as just another opportunity to kiss up to him, and I don't know where it's going to end. I think probably, you know, the end will start when he starts to get charged with crimes and civil violations of the law.
Jeff Rogers, thanks for being with us. Always good to talk with you. Thanks for being on the show today, and thanks for giving us part of your weekend. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Pamela Powers Hanley, the progressive voice of the legislature. My guest next.
I'd give anything if that little red-haired girl had sent me a Valentine.
Hey, maybe she did send me one. Maybe it's in our mailbox right now.
I'm afraid to look. If I look and there's nothing there, I'll be crushed. I've got to look.
Maybe Charlie Brown will get his Valentine when the postman remembers to get his free 26-point inspection at Perfection Auto Works. In fact, we define it as an act of love worthy of St. Valentine's. To get your spouse's car fixed, maintained, and running right, with a call to 323-8650 and a click to perfectionautoworks.com. That's 323-8650. From an oil change to a major service, foreign or domestic, since 1994, Perfection Auto Works has been giving you the love at 323-8650.
As a business owner, you're responsible for the growth, leadership, and the daily operation of your business. This includes your interaction and advocacy for your customers. Tucson Business Owners, Inc. offers you the opportunity to educate and advocate about community policies affecting profitability. By becoming a member of Tucson Business Owners, Inc., you can have an effect on common issues such as curb appeal, municipal budget priorities, and keeping a vibrant workforce in the area. For more information, visit TucsonBusinessOwners.org.
From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. With me is the progressive voice of Arizona from the Arizona Legislature, Legislative District 9, Democrat Pamela Powers Hanley. Hi, Pam. How are you?
Good. How are you, John?
Good. I'm reading these headlines. I don't even believe them. I think somebody just made them up. But a proposed law would let the legislature overturn presidential election results. What the hell? No, really, what the hell?
You can't make this stuff up, huh?
Apparently not. Apparently not.
I was reading through that bill the other day because actually some of the Blog for Arizona guys tipped me off to it. And, you know, the first 10 or so pages is a very long bill. The first 10 or so pages, it just adds tons and tons of bureaucracy and, you know, scanning of ballots and posting ballots on the Secretary of State's website. And I thought, whoa, there's some privacy issues here. But then I get to the kicker where it says the legislature can come into session and actually decide the election, basically. It was like, oh, my God, are you kidding me?
This is the Bullock, the Supreme Court Justice wife, that's a legislator.
Exactly, yes, exactly.
I'm sure he didn't have a hand in this at all, you know. I mean, from the Goldwater Institute, you know. I mean, good Lord, you know.
Well, yes. I mean, it's my understanding, I think they were both with the Goldwater Institute at one point.
I believe you're right. Absolutely. I've interviewed him on numerous times before he became a Supreme Court justice. There's just a lot of crazy things going on up there. Apparently, legislators want to push rules to clip the governor's powers who have been exercised during the pandemic. What kind of idea is that? You have to have somebody in charge, and it happens to be the governor.
It's just, I mean, so like, you know, the I actually had... You know, I've had people call my office and ask me if I agree with those bills. And it's like, I don't think anybody in the legislature likes Doug Ducey right now. The Democrats don't think he's done enough, and the Republicans think he's done too much. So the idea that they want to have him do less for the pandemic is kind of ridiculous. You know, and we're still one of the worst states in the country. And for a while there, a couple of weeks ago, I think we were worst in the world, you know. So, I mean, doing less is just... It's just crazy talk. I mean, I can't believe how many Republicans up there are just flaunting the mask policy. It's not a rule. You know, there's no, you know, it's just absurd.
Well, on another issue, too, you've got the pandemic toll and GOP lawmakers wanting more tax cuts in the governor's budget. He's talking about $200 million in tax cuts. The legislature talking about another $200 million. I mean, it's not like we don't need the money for schools and roads and the infrastructure of the state, which has been literally ignored for a long period of time. And we have thousands of people out of work that need help. We have businesses that have gone under and may never, ever recover that need help. We need to have some tax structure that can benefit the people who've been paying these taxes all along, rather than, you know, allowing a tax cut now when the government is sorely needed to be able to do some things that only government can do.
Right, right. And I listened to the Financial Review Committee meeting. This is it's every quarter, you know, and they have these financial analysts from different sectors, and then they have this meeting that's, you know, it's videotaped and you can watch it live. And like back June, these guys were all crying in their beer because they thought it was going to be so horrible. And then in September, they said, well, you know, we're really not doing so bad. And then like this one at the beginning of January, you know, the economy is actually doing pretty well, right? If you ignore all the people at the bottom who are getting evicted and laid off, you know, and sick, everybody else is doing fine. And so that's where they're focusing. You know, they're like, hey, you know, I think they're projecting $400 million surplus, quote, surplus, right? And because sales tax is still up, so the people who have money are still buying stuff, you know, and the office workers, you know, who've been, you know, working in their pajamas and have, you know, pent up demand are, you know, buying things online and still paying sales tax. And so sales tax is up, and we still got the big, you know, rainy day fund. And so, you know, the other thing was that they were talking about how much Arizona individual income had gone up during 2020. I'm like, are you crazy? Well, it had gone up because some people were making more money because they got the pandemic unemployment. And then when, you know, so we are riding on sales tax and the federal money, you know, and it's like, we can't do that forever. Eventually the federal money is going to go away. And this has happened to us before where, you know, we just ride along on the feds or on some sort of a wave, we spend the money. And then when the heyday ends, we've not made any investment, you know? And so I still have bills again, you know, for a roof over your head and food on the table. You know, we should expand the cash assistance to the poor. We should expand the unemployment insurance because we're one of the worst states in the country for those things. And so even one of those financial analysts that last week, he even said the gap between the rich and poor in Arizona is getting dangerously wide, and we have to help the people at the bottom.
Wow.
Now, if they listened, I'm not sure. But, I mean, you know, I'm one of the ones who's pushing this idea. We shouldn't give that $400 million away. We have to help these other people out. Doesn't make any sense to throw them all out in the street. Come on.
No, of course not. I want to say the best for the last. You got the Senate changing its mind. It's going to conduct an audit of the Maricopa County election results. Yeah. For God's sake, how many times do we have to count these votes? Are you kidding me? Is this the best way we can spend our time? This election is over. Did anybody let these people know that? I mean, come on.
They're obviously sore losers, right?
We're going to count them again? Yeah. Seriously? Really?
Well, that's part of Bullock's thing, you know, with the her bill. But then also, you know, she's been, according to the yellow sheet, she's been working with Alec for months, you know, working on how to eliminate our personal income tax, because they want to cut the personal income tax or eliminate it so Arizona's 1% don't have to pay for Prop 208. You know, they really, I mean, I think they hate Prop 208 passage as much as they hate Joe Biden, you know.
Wow. Really.
It's an alternative universe, John.
Yeah, I, you're not getting paid enough to do this, by the way.
I know.
Well, I'm out of time here, but I wanted to get the record straight, and you straighten it out for me, and I appreciate it. And we'll have you back on again very soon. I tell you, I don't know how you do it every single day in light of just what we've talked about, but somebody's got to do it. Might as well be you. Thanks again for being on the show.
All right. Thank you, John.
Good to talk with you. The progressive voice of Southern Arizona, my favorite legislator, Pamela Powers Handley. And I mean that. She's my legislator from Legislative District 9. We'll be back with Jim Handley, the one of the financial advisors who I respect the most in all of America. He's got a forecast for this coming year you need to hear. Jim Handley next after these messages. Tucson attorney Jeff Rogers is one of the most respected lawyers in Arizona. Jeff is the attorney other lawyers refer when they can't handle the case. The lawyer you choose can make all the difference. When your freedom, finances, or livelihood is at stake, choose the law firm recommended by other law firms. The Jeff Rogers Law Firm is rated preeminent by Martindale Hubble, the highest award to recognize excellence in American law practice. Call the Jeff Rogers Law Firm at 624-4700. Law offices at 177 North Church Avenue.
Since 1968, Ackerley Advertising has helped companies, restaurants, schools, churches, and nonprofit organizations manage their advertising. Hello, I'm William Ackerley, production manager at Ackerley Advertising. Right now, my brother, Dr. Ed Ackerley, and I are offering an awesome 50% discount on video production. We can help you tell your unique story with an affordable television commercial or video for your website and social media advertising. Give Ackerley Advertising a call or visit ackerleyadvertising.com.
There's never been a better feeling than improving your home furnishings for the new year. Now you can feel a sense of home. We invite you to experience the true pleasure of shopping at Southern Arizona's largest selection of pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessories. You must visit the two neighborhood home style gallery locations at 1010 South Wilmot or 2950 South Ina Road. Both stores are filled with over 15,000 square feet of beautiful furniture. Plus, Homestyle Galleries allows you to turn your once-loved furniture into cash. Homestyle Galleries saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Homestyle Galleries open 7 days a week. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. With us is Jim Handley, one of the smartest financial advisors I know. And Jim, welcome to the show. You know, I wanted to do this before we ended the first month of the new year. Of course, it's January 30th, and it's over. We're going to move into month number two. But give me a review of 2020. It was very difficult for a great many people. And perhaps a preview of where we're going in 2021, Jim.
Okay, John, it's great to be here again. I was looking at my numbers for the Dow last year, and it looks to me like the Dow was up 7.25% for the year. So it wasn't an enormous year, you know, but it was respectable, and especially if you consider that I think it was the third week in March was when we had the meltdown, and the market was down 35.6% from the beginning of the year. So, I mean, it was a dramatic tumble of 10,277 points to find the low, you know, for last year. But, you know, it finished the year at 30,606. You know, the investors who were wise enough, who had enough courage to stay invested when the market was tumbling like it did come out all right, you know, this year. So I think that it bodes well for the resiliency the financial markets themselves, that they were able to come back the way they did. And I'm not so sure whether the strength of that is going to continue into the first quarter. December was a lot better than I think a lot of analysts were predicting early in the fourth quarter. But this momentum is, I think it's rather fragile. So most of the analysts think that we're not going to be on a back to normal basis until at least late in the third quarter, you know, of next year, and then certainly into the fourth quarter. I know I've heard predictions for economic growth for 2021 as high as 5%, you know, and as low as 3%. So, you know, it is so hard to tell, because look at the stumble that we're having with this vaccine rollout. I think that, you know, in mid-December, certainly there was a lot more optimism about getting the vaccine rolled out than what we're experiencing. So, you know, I think I certainly the economy is dependent on that getting the pandemic behind us. So it's all about the vaccine, mobilizing it so that we have people getting enough inoculations, you know, quickly enough.
You know, Jim, I noticed you've got results from this last week of the market kind of struggling to find some direction. You had Apple and these other big tech stocks that are higher than lower. How should people feel about this somewhat unstable situation of even these tech stocks are the big ones?
Well, John, you know, that tech, I think that generally speaking, most investors have a lot of confidence in tech stocks. I think that that's based on a fundamental view that technology marches on, that every year we do have new technological developments, and that for the most part, technology makes us more productive. Now, last year, we had advances in productivity because the pandemic made us use existing technology that we were neglecting before. You know, if you think about all the Zoom meetings that have happened, you know, in the course of that, I think that corporations discovered that a lot of travel that their executives were doing was really not necessary. And that, you know, I think that conferencing became a lot more fluid, maybe a lot more frequent than it was before, because of this barrier of distance that was really just in our minds. You know, we found out that we can communicate on the screen face to face in real time, and it's extremely efficient. We share documents. You know, I'm doing all of my quarterly reviews on Zoom. My clients don't have to drive across town or drive from downstate or somewhere like that, you know, to see me. So technology is a good bet, you know, for investors. And so now there's certainly is a lot of volatility in that industry, because, you know, advances don't come in on time sometimes, or it's disappointing the level at which the public adopts new technological development. While we're talking about it, transportation. There's a transformation going on in transportation, and I think it's largely driven by policy. You know, we've seen the Biden administration beginning to set the bar for electric vehicles in the auto industry. They have gone back. Trump rolled back fuel efficiency requirements, and the Biden administration has reimposed those. And I think the state of California has has a goal for electric vehicles that that is spurring the market. We've seen that explosion in the shares of Tesla. You know, I think it's largely driven by policy, and people see it. See this company is poised to take advantage of that.
Let me ask you.
Go ahead.
I want to ask you about GameStop before we lose any more time here. This is a phenomenon. What the hell's going on here?
Well, what's going on is what they call a short squeeze. And so, you know, we have these hedge fund operators that were shorting the stock of GameStop, and AMC Theaters and Tootsie Rolls, if you can believe that. So what they do is they sell shorts on the stock, and if the share price goes down, they make money. But if the share price goes up, their liabilities are unlimited. So we had a group of investors that were communicating with each other, and there was such a large number of them, they were able to mobilize enough capital investment that they drove the stock up. Now, I think it was fourfold is what GameStop went up. And the last figure I saw was that the hedge funds that had shorted it were on the hook for $5 billion.
Wow.
You know, yes. I think part of it was a rebellion, by these, most of them I think are smallholders that organized themselves and said, no, we're not going to let these vulture capitalists drive down the stock and drive a business that we loved growing up, just get crushed, you know? So I think to a certain extent, it was a useful lesson, you know, for these venture capitalists who do this and really drive good companies, you know, out of business this way.
Jim,
and get rich in the process.
That's the best explanation I've heard. I understand it now. Now, very quickly, I've got 2 minutes. Let's take a look at 2021 and just a forecast, if you will. Good, bad, ugly. What do you think?
Well, John, I think it'll be about normal. You know, I think we'll see about 3.5% to 2.5% to 3.5% economic growth. Probably, you know, I don't know. It's hard for me to make predictions about the Dow, you know, whether it'll finish up 10%. I don't know. I just want to tell your investors, look for value. The market is very, very high right now, and so stock prices are high. But if they look hard enough, they'll find companies that are undervalued. And analysts will give a fair value price for stocks. And if you find it, that there is a significant margin for its current price against what its fair value is, then it's a pretty good bet.
All right.
Overseas? Okay.
Well, I want people to call you at 623-3646. I think you have some information online for people, do you not?
I do, John. I hope they would find my website, jimhanleyllc.com. Hanley is Hanley. So visit my website, and I have a real good retirement planning tool up there that's free for them to use. So I hope I'll see them there.
And by the way, it's updated on a very regular basis, so it's current constantly. It really is a valuable tool for people. It's free, and you simply go online, and it's there right before your eyes instantly. So
once again,
you go where?
I blog there, so there's lots of articles too. As well, I keep.
And you're online where? Let's state again.
It's jimhanleyllc.com, Hanley. It's that easy.
Jim, it's always great talking with you. I appreciate it. I've got through the GameStop thing. I'm glad, because I just am so confused by that. A lot of people were as well, but not anymore, thanks to you. Jim, have
sure
a great
thing,
weekend.
John.
Thanks for
you
spending
too,
part of your weekend with us. Good to talk with you. One of the best financial advisors in all of America, Jim Hanley, 623-3646, jimhanleyllc.com, 623-3646. You can talk to Jim anytime. He's a wealth of information for you. It'll be the best phone call you'll ever make, 623-3646. From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this has been the John C. Scott Political Forum. Thank you so much for listening to our show. Have a wonderful weekend, everyone.
Cupid, draw back your bow.
Welcome to Perfection Auto Works. Hey, aren't you Cupid?
Yeah, or I was until I lost my job.
How does the Angel of Eros do that, pray tell?
My car broke down on the way to a falling in love event. They broke up, and the boss fired me. Can you fix my car?
Sure. A free 26-point inspection. Hey, would you please point that arrow in a safe direction?
Sorry,
I love you, man.
Go back to work, Joe. Brakes, tires, tune-ups. From a Mercedes to a Chevy pickup, we can do it all, whether it's a tune-up, oil change, or just old-fashioned service. Perfection Auto Works at 323-8650. That's 323-8650. Or check out our cool website at perfectionautoworks.com.